Seems like it's been a month since you've been here.
We had five Monday May, so yeah. We haven't been here for 3 weeks. So it's hard to get back into the swing of things when you haven't been on a regular schedule. So now we'll get back on the regular schedule for a little while.
Yep, and plenty of stuff on the agenda from yesterday.
Yeah, huh? it was pretty packed. You could tell that we were down a week. That definitely impacted the amount of items that we had in our agenda.
We'll start first on announcements, recognitions. Anything there?
Just a couple. Jody and I announced that the pool is going to be opening today. We've had some struggles as far as trying to staff the pool. I know that area businesses are kind of feeling the same pinch as well, too. We got creative as far as recruiting lifeguards. We've got our pool managers, I believe, completely licensed now. And so we are good to go. I think that at the state of Nebraska, they got inundated with a lot of applications at the same time. So it took a little while to get the pool managers through. We are set to go. This year is going to be kind of different just because staffing is going to be a little more complicated. So we're going to have to kind of schedule around their schedules a little bit. And so it's going to be there are going to be adjustments to the schedule as the year goes on. So we'll do our best to try to make sure we keep everybody notified as far as schedule changes and things like that. But we're excited to get the pool going. We didn't have it open last year because of COVID. So we're ready to get rolling, and we're excited. So, and then the other thing that we had, there was an announcement. Camp Kameka is actually going to be coming to McCook, and it looks like it's going to be on June 10th and 11th, and they are going to be putting on an impact camp at Kelly Park, and that's going to be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that's pre-kindergarten through 6th grade, and they're going to have activities over at Kelly Park. They're going to have games and some other items as well, too. And so if people want to go, they're more than welcome to go, and families are welcome on Friday, June 11th from 5 to 7. I think they're going to have maybe a Sloppy Joe feed or something like that, so everybody's invited, and everything's free. So so if anybody wants to go and attend that, that'll be on the 10th and 11th of June.
Coming up again Thursday and Friday.
Yep.
Right around the corner.
And traditionally when the pool opens the first day, there's no fee. Uh-huh. So yeah. Just remember that we haven't had a lot of heat, so water might be a little chilly.
Yeah. And just put the water in the pool probably just the other – or has it been there for – a week or so?
We filled it over a week ago probably now. So, yeah. Like I said, it's been really complicated trying to get those positions filled.
Usually in the past, that was a high school kid's summer job.
So one of the things that probably impacted it was COVID. Yeah. Since we weren't open, a lot of kids took jobs last summer, and so they probably already had jobs this summer. And then I also think one of the things we talked about last night, you know, our wages are fairly low for our lifeguards. And so I think our guards might have other jobs that they're looking at that might actually pay a little bit more. And so we're going to have to look at potentially adjusting that as time goes by. And we can make some adjustments within that range that we have. So, but the big thing is getting up and getting going. And I want to say thank you to Jody and Richie Crocker. I know that Jody had mentioned it yesterday, and she was going to go into retirement this year. And then I think she saw how badly Kyle and Tyler and I were struggling, and so I think that she felt sympathy for us, and she decided, I'm going to go ahead and give it one more year. So we really appreciate the two of them helping out. I know yesterday, I guess it was Sunday, they were doing pool manager training, Richie was out there, and there's nobody that has a better understanding of how the pool operates. I mean, and he does a lot of it by feel. He can just see what needs to be done and just make those adjustments on the fly. So you know that you've been doing it for a long time when you've got that ability.
All right, so it opens today. Free swim today at the McCook City Pool.
That's correct.
All right. A number of consent agenda items. Anything polled for discussion on this one?
Yes, we did. We had the last two O&P polled. The first one was amendment to the dog park lease. This was actually signed or approved by the city council about 15 months ago. So when the they're getting their money together and they're getting ready to start, our insurance company had some amendments that they wanted to add to this lease, and We proposed that last night. We had a good discussion with Kelly and decided that they're not ready to sign this. So basically, we backed off and we're going to let them review it. They can meet with the staff, see where we go from here. And then if they want to proceed with the dog park, they can bring it back to us. But at this point, we just pulled that item last night.
All right. And you said the next one too? Oh, that was the same. It was the same one.
Yeah,
okay.
P was also pulled. It was approved to receive $25,000 donation from Community Foundation to assist in establishing rural workforce housing. Basically, it comes in the door and it goes right back out the door. They have to give to someone eligible. So it's kind of a pass-through fund that we're going to use.
I see a number of special designated liquor licenses. That means more weddings and stuff like that. And these are into August. So I tell you, that city auditorium's getting used.
It's crazy right now. Yeah. And on top of it, we've got the STEP project over there right now. And so I tell you what, there's a lot of activity. I've already been to a couple of weddings, and I know we've got a lot more on the horizon. I think that this year, as opposed to last year, people better be ready to be going to lots of weddings and eating lots of cake and dancing a lot, because you know, we're all kind of a little rusty. But with the SDLs that are getting issued right now, I mean, I tell you, there are a lot of different activities going on around town right now.
It's exciting.
Yeah. It is.
I talked to somebody the other day about, like, they were trying to find a place for a wedding reception. And it's tough to find them. And I mean, people are booking 1, 2, 3 years down the line, and you almost got to.
We had somebody that was trying to book for a specific week next year, and it was completely booked around that time. And so that's the hard part is, you know, it's a first come, first serve kind of deal over at the auditorium. That auditorium gets used like nobody's business, you know. And I know at one point in time there was some conversation, well, you know, is the auditorium really a necessary thing for the city to continue to operate? But I don't know if people realize just how busy that is. You know, and pretty much every weekend this summer we've got something going on. So it's a nice service that we're able to provide. And once we get that STEP project done, it's going to be even nicer.
I was just wondering, you know, with all these weddings and everything happening this summer, where they got delayed from last year, are we going to be seeing a big baby boom?
Hey, that's a good point. Yeah.
Good point there, Mike. Wow. Good point.
Yeah.
The school system better get ready, because in a few years.
That might be true. Yep. You bet. Let's move on to the regular agenda. Approve the abandonment of an easement located on the north side of Block 2 of the Bish Edition.
We actually had this conversation at the last council meeting. Kurt Swanhorst, he's asked for the city of McCook to consider removing the easement that was created on the north side of the property. And that was a perpetual easement that the Bishop family had created when they created the Bish Edition. And that was in about 2017, I think, when the Bish Edition was created. That property is kind of an interesting property. It borders the highway, so it'd just be north of Orchlands and Farm Credit Services. There are two empty lots there now. And the property that Kurt owns is the northernmost lot. There's an easement there that is on the very far extreme north side of that northern lot. And Mr. Swanhorst is wanting to put a building there on that easement. The only way that he can do so is by having the city of McCook abandon that. And so we went through, we reviewed the abandonment procedures, and a couple of items that popped up during our review, we just wanted to make sure that Kurt was aware of. So we put a couple of conditions on the abandonment. First, we don't want to abandon the easement until we know that there's been a building permit pulled. We need to make sure he's going to build on there before we get rid of that easement. And second of all, there is a issue with the corporate boundary. It actually bisects his property. And when we were working with the bishops to go ahead and create Bish Edition, we got an agreement from them that they would go ahead and not oppose an annexation if we needed to move that corporate boundary to the west. And I just wanted to get an affirmation from Kurt that he was okay with that. So I called him last week, and he said, yeah, he was fine with that. So those were the two things that we need to make sure get done. But as long as those two things get done, then the council is willing to go ahead and abandon it. And we just need to do the paperwork to complete that process.
Next up, consider a request from Josiah Hegwood and Blackwood Enterprises regarding leasing the parking area from the city of McCook at the old Public Safety Center for a building project.
Yeah, last night there was just it was a discussion item that, you know, the building that they're fixing right in front of the old police fire station, and they're going to have a restaurant in there and some other businesses, so they're going to need about 44 parking spaces. So they asked that city lease the area right to the south of that, would be right in front of the old police department, and we use the old fire department where they stored the fire trucks for storage for some of our equipment. And then the Family Resource, right? Resource Center is in there, and we need to talk to them and see what their needs are. But we'd really like to see this happen so that they can proceed with their building. He did a very nice job presenting, and the council is very excited to move this forward so the staff and Joshua can get together and with the Family Resource make sure that we don't step on anybody's toes. And if we can do this, we'll move forward and let him continue his business. So we're all excited about seeing that building renovated.
So the rumors are flying around town about what restaurants over there.
Yeah, he had said there was going to be a fast food restaurant and then another establishment as well, too. He didn't state what the name was.
Oh,
so,
dang. I've heard. I think we've all heard.
No, he didn't make any public statements.
We can tell him off air, right?
Yeah. I think that the listeners are going to be like, wait a second, that's not cool.
No, we don't know. I'm only kidding.
Come on, make the announcement for crying out loud. People want to know.
Well, I think some of it's contingent on this. One of the things that he did say was, as part of the lease agreement, the entity that they're contracting with, they require a 7 or 7.5 year lease. And so one of the things that we just need to make sure is that there are no other needs. And you know, that building's just an interesting building. Not the world's nicest building, but it serves a purpose. And we're glad that the Family Resource Center is there. And Kathy was in the audience last night, Kathy Haas. And we had told her that we'd make sure that we had conversations with both of them to make sure that we weren't stepping on toes or limiting space. The big thing for us is making sure that we're able to get access to those bays because we've got a lot of equipment we store in there. And, you know, being able to get in and get out, it's extremely important. You know, and especially I think about what we use that equipment for, a lot of it sometimes will be for snow removal and those kinds of efforts. And we don't have great places to store everything. And so it's really important that we keep those stalls available for our equipment. So, but we'll sit down, we'll figure out a way to make this work. And I really do appreciate Josiah. He really is a good guy to work with. Young kid coming back to McCook, and he really presents himself very well.
Follow-up discussion regarding the McCook City Council's prioritizing of current general and enterprise fund needs. Fund needs and potential general fund projects.
Yeah, this is kind of a big one. We've been working on this for several meetings now. We've had a lot of discussions. We kind of broke it up into wellness. We broke it up into staffing. I don't have my paper with me.
Capital improvement needs and capital improvement wants.
Right. And so last night, I think as the discussion went on, we all agreed that staffing is a big issue. We need to look, they did a salary survey, and so we need to look at that. We need to stay competitive with the other cities, but we also need to be competitive with businesses so that we don't lose our employees. You know, it's so hard to get employees, and we've got some really great ones with a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. We need to keep them. We also have about 9 positions that we would like to fill. That's going to be tough with the budget we've got, but, you know, if you don't start talking about it, you can't get anything done. And then we talked about a lot of projects that are on the board. And
The big one is the computer, radio. Or the radio console over at the police department. We mentioned funding sources. We talked about the money, the COVID money that we're going to receive. That's through the CARES Act. That's about $1.28 million that the city of McCook is scheduled to receive. But there are some limitations on that. You can only use that for enterprise fund utilities. Plus, I believe after reading through the guidelines, I think you can also use it for storm sewer projects. And then also broadband connectivity is another thing that you can use that money for. But we can't use it for streets. We can't use it for anything like that. Other projects we can't use it for. We also have $680,000 of FEMA money that we can use for anything. So we've got broad discretion. And so we talked about how we might want to utilize that. We talked about on the police department side, the radio console. Chief Smith has told us that that's going to be about a $400,000 upgrade. It has to be done. We also have an ARF truck that we're going to have to purchase out at the airport. Since we're Part 139 and we have commercial flights coming in and out, as part of Part 39 requirements, we are required to have an ARF truck on site, which we have one, but it's a 1996 and it's not in the best of shape. Last time we had an inspection, there were some issues with the radio, and we've gotten dinged on that about 3 or 4 years now in a row. So we're really having to kind of look at maybe going forward and trying to find a replacement ARF truck.
And then ARF stands for?
Don't ask me what ARF stands for. AARF, I can't tell you what the acronym is. It is a fire truck that has special foam that deals with crashes at an airport, so it would deal with the fuel and those kinds of things like that. So, but yeah, I could tell you that it is AARF. It's not ARF, and it's not Alf the Alien. we do need to. We actually last summer, Kyle and I, we were working on trying to bid on one out of Kansas City. And that was a 2015, and there is a high demand on that. We realized pretty quickly that there are a lot of other towns that are in the same shape as us. So, but if we want to keep our Part 139 credentials, we've got to have this truck. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of other things, too. You know, I know all the departments have some issues. I know Jerry had mentioned the bucket truck. We need a bucket truck replacement over at the Public Works Department. You know, on the utility side, there are a lot of needs that Jesse has, and those are enterprise funds, but it doesn't change the fact that there's going to be a rate increase for consumers if we ever were to go ahead and make some larger adjustments over there. And then even over at our other departments, there are always needs that we're going to have. So it's always daunting, but I appreciate the council, and I told them again last night, this has been really a good year because we've been having these discussions probably all the way since January. Once we kind of woke up from our COVID slumber, we had a discussion over at the city auditorium regarding capital improvement projects. And then we also had a tour of the city facilities in March. And then here starting in April and May, we started doing our prioritization discussions. And I really think that this is going to help us kind of establish the guidelines moving forward as far as what we believe are priorities and then how we go about trying to purchase those things or staff those departments.
And I think when we get to the budget season, it's going to help the staff a lot because they're not going to be guessing. You know, we're all going to be talking about the same thing. We're all going to be going this. We're all in the boat. We all got the oars and we're going the same direction. Mm-hmm. So that will be important for them. And it should make, it won't make it easier for them because now they got to find a bunch of money, but at least they won't be wondering, are we going the right direction?
Yeah.
Next up, authorize the staff to prepare and submit an application for the 2021 COPS Hiring Program Grant.
Yeah, so this kind of goes hand in hand with the prioritization discussion and also the employee discussion. We are going to submit a COPS hiring grant for the 2021 cycle. We're looking at moving forward with hiring two police officers through the COPS grant, and it is a competitive grant, so there's no guarantee that we're going to get it. But what the COPS grant does is that it will provide 75% of the entry-level salary and then the fringe benefits for a new employee for up to 3 years, and it could be 5 years depending on the training and all those requirements that get thrown into it. The city would be responsible for the other 25%, and that's a three-year period of time. At the expiration of those 3 years, then the city of McCook would take over the entirety of the salary and wages for those individuals. There was some discussion as far as how many officers would we like to see. We talked about four during the discussion on the prioritization side when we were talking personnel. We know that each of the departments needs some additional personnel. But two seemed like a number that was realistic. I thought that was still pretty ambitious. You know, what I kind of figured up in my head when I was doing this report, I believe for the 3 years that we are under the COPS grant, we're going to be paying about $21,676 per year for the two officers in wages, and then another $12,000 in benefits. So that's not going to break the bank, but it's the next period of time after the COPS grant runs out when we know it's going to be a little bit more complicated. But at least by that time, hopefully we'll have a good idea as far as where we're at, how we're going to be able to pay for it. You know, one of the positive things about the way that we've budgeted over the years, and I don't want to lose this for fear of maybe creating issues for us later on down the road, but we've always kept our levy low enough that if we do need to make adjustments, we can make those adjustments. And so those towns that are up against their levy lid at 45 cents, they have no more wiggle room. They really can't do these kinds of things. We've got a little bit of wiggle room because we've kept our property tax request low, and that's by design. We're doing our best to be good stewards of the taxpayers' money and also make sure that when we do need to look at a possible adjustment, we can do so. We're not talking about huge adjustments, hopefully, but there are so many things in the future and so many needs that we have. And we don't get a lot of assistance from the federal government, despite the COVID stuff that we've received. I mean, that's just kind of a one-and-done kind of deal. And those are very specific what you can use those items for. And we don't get much assistance from the state. We get some equalization funds, and that's it. So we do the best that we can with the resources that we have. But in this particular case, we do really need to start looking at increasing staff on the police department side. It's a morale issue. We're having a hard time staffing. You know, we run three officers to shift. A lot of times we're only having two out there, and that puts those officers in dangerous positions and makes it extremely complicated for them at times to be able to do everything that they need to do during the course of a day. So hopefully we get this grant and we can move forward with looking at trying to hire two additional officers.
Discussion approval of the 2021-22 budget schedule. Hip hip hooray.
That's pretty simple. We do this every year and it starts soon and it goes for a long, long time.
It does.
The staff, they spend a lot of time before we ever see it. So they'll start gathering their information. And like I said, we've already had a lot of discussion of things that the council's interested in. And they'll have their department things they need to do. And Nate will get to put it all together and run it by Leanne or
Leanne will put it together and run it by me, probably. Yeah. Is the way it's gonna
whichever
work.
Way it goes.
But that's typically how it works.
It is an interesting process, and we will be bringing that back. And normally we have it three readings, so the public can come and they have questions they can ask about it.
Okay.
The only deviation from prior years is I think we're going to add one special meeting at the end of August, just because of all the different items that we have going on right now and the different needs. The council felt it was a good idea to. We had a weird year last year where we only had two readings because of the way the budget fell. The budget kind of did the same thing. The date that the budget needs to be turned into the state auditor's office, it's on the 20th, and I believe September 20th is either a Monday or a Tuesday, so you wouldn't be able to have a second meeting. So we're going to throw a special meeting into the mix, and that'll be at the end of August, either on the 23rd or the 30th. But just with all the things we have going on, I think the council felt like it was a good idea just to make sure that we had the full three readings to have those discussions.
Presentation from City Attorney Nathaniel Mushton on regarding an update on the creation of a regional land bank.
Yeah, we've been working on this for a while. At the state level here a few years ago, I guess it was last year, the legislature approved the creation of regional land banks. And that's been something that's been in play for Omaha and metro areas, but cities of the first class and smaller cities and villages weren't able to go ahead and use it. Nate's been going around from town to town trying to recruit other towns to get into this land bank. And what a land bank potentially could do is it could simplify the process for trying to get title or clear title to a property, so that way you can demolish that abandoned house or that nuisance property that nobody has touched for 20 years. One of the things that we were talking about last night, Nate's been in communication with a bunch of towns, and it just kind of has snowballed. So he started talking with North Platte, I believe, and North Platte was interested in getting involved. And then I don't know how it worked exactly, but he found out that Lexington, Cozad, and Gothenburg were interested in getting involved in Ogallala. And he said, you know, we're stretching west from, I believe he said, Benkelman out to Arapahoe. So we're talking about a really good big section of the state. Basically, the entire southwest and central portion of the state would be part of the land bank. And one of the things we'd have to figure out is how do we fund this bank so that way we can do some projects as a group. It sounds like other areas that have started this process already, they have used a combination of dues being paid by the communities that are members of the land bank, grants, and then also it sounds like private businesses have contributed as well, too. For example, I think that he was talking about Scott's Bluff and Gehring. They've already started their land bank process, and they had a goal of $1 million, I believe, as far as the original cash in hand when they start their land banking. And we got to figure out what it's going to look like. We're going to bring in a specialist that does these things that can consult with us and kind of tell us how to get this started. And who knows, this may be, it's going to be a big undertaking. I mean, and Nate said, I don't know if it's going to be something that their office will be able to do full time or if it's going to be something that's going to be handed off to somebody at some point because it's so big that it could just be self-sustaining. But we got to figure out some way, and it's not just a McCook problem. We got to figure out some way to deal with abandoned properties. This year, the council set aside $25,000 for nuisance abatement projects, and I actually thought that would get us two houses as far as demolitions go. It actually only got us one house. So $25,000 for one house doesn't seem like a lot of bang for your buck, but hopefully with this, maybe we'll have some more money available to do some bigger projects.
Consider a request from the Norris Institute for the city to donate $10,000 of ACE funds to the Norris Alley Project.
The Norris Alley Project is actually located between Keystone and the Fox Theater, and they're going to turn that into a park that will be available to community, special events. I think they said they could even rent it for special events. So they'd like to get this done in Heritage Days. The project is about $645,000. And they're around $400,000, so they need to do some fundraising. They've got a matching grant or a competitive grant through KeyWit, and they're going to need to get some funds to match that so that they can get that, pick up that extra $50,000. So the ACE funds come from ACE, which is a gas supplier, and they take a portion of the, call it profits, it's income over expenses because they're a nonprofit, and they give that back to communities that utilize their service. And we get about $19,000 each year, or it varies depending on how many people are using their program. So this year we've used $25,000 to MEDC to help with that workforce housing. We did $6,000 for the chamber, and then they want to do $10,000 for this. So it wasn't an action item last night, but it was agreed that the council would like to look at this further, so they asked that this be put on to the agenda as an action item for the next meeting.
And last but not least, approving the McCook EDC's purchase of land utilizing LB 840 funds.
Yeah, the EDC has been very, very active. One of their primary goals, they've got three primary goals, and one of them is trying to figure out a way to build more housing in McCook. We all know that there's a housing shortage, and we're trying to figure out a way to address that. As part of their efforts, the EDC recently purchased some land over at North Point in order to hopefully bring in development here at some point in the future. They also last night asked for the city council's approval to utilize $70,000 with the possibility of extending that all the way up to $210,000 for the purchase of property located be just north of the Lutheran Church on Seminole. It's actually the property that Jay Hancock purchased and then created the sewer improvement district on a few years ago. We also did a replat and a planned unit development of that property, I want to say a year and a half ago. And so there are 12 lots right now, but that's in the planned unit development. Long story, you could go ahead and replat that, maybe make it 6 lots, so that way you've got traditional houses, or if you were to go with those 12 lots, you could do townhouses. But the EDC is wanting to get possession of that, so that way they can start the process of trying to find a developer and begin a construction project up there. And so in order to do so, in order to use LB 840 money, the EDC has to get the permission from the council. Anytime they use money to purchase real estate, the council has to give them the okay. The council last night gave them the okay to do that.
This also is an item that kind of go along with a priority that we set was housing. If we're going to see McCook grow, you know, we've had people that want to come to McCook to work, but there's not housing available. So This did fall in line with something that we've been looking at, too. So it's good to be able to work with the MEDC to move this forward.
Council comments.
We had one from Gene Whedon, and basically he wanted to clarify. A couple meetings ago, we took out the council, the citizens' comment portion. So now, if you want to talk to the council, you'll need to fill out a form, submit it. If it can be dealt with the staff, they'll deal with it. If not, and you still want to come to the council, then it'll be put on the regular agenda for action. So the reason we did this is with open meeting law, basically when you came and spoke to the council, it was an agenda item. So when you presented your stuff, we really couldn't react to you. We couldn't talk to you because it wasn't fair to the rest of the public because they didn't know what was going to be talked about. So this just clarifies it. It'll be on paper. If you want to hear it, you want to participate, now you can come to the council and everything will be just more transparency of what happens at our meetings. I think it's a good move, and we haven't had it yet. But and then if the staff deals with it, they'll just put it under consent agenda for if we need to approve it or whatever. So.
Right. What a meeting. Wow.
Yeah, it was a long one. Yeah. We didn't get done until the eighth inning. So
were you checking your phone every now and then?
Well, no, I didn't even do that. I had my phone sitting next to me, but I didn't look at it. But it's our fault because once we got let go, that's when the floodgates opened up in the eighth inning and we went down 6-2.
Yeah.
So we should have just stayed in session for the remainder of the night. So that way we wouldn't have jinxed them. But no, the Huskers had a heck of a run. They did a great job.
Planning commission meeting next week?
No.
Okay,
not next week. In July.
In July.
We'll have one in July.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Next regular meeting then on the 21st?
Correct.
Anything else going on?
Lots of stuff going on, but we're just trying to keep our heads above water right now. It's crazy. Lots of good things on the horizon. One of the things that we will do is we're going to reach back out to the group that's doing the dog park to see if we can't have more discussions and see if we can't find some common ground as far as what their expectations are. And so anyway, we'll do that. And but yeah, things are moving really, really fast right now. So that's a good thing. We're ready for budget season, and I know Leanne, I saw her the other day. She was hunkered down in her office, and this time of the year, you just figure 3 to 4 months, you know, that's where she's going to be, and there's going to be a lot of discussions. The big thing for me right now is getting the wage study completed and figuring out a way to incorporate those findings into our current wage scale. So started really kind of going through that hard last week, and we'll continue to do that here in the next few weeks.
Don't forget, City Pool opens today at 1
o'clock. Yeah, City Pool today at 1 o'clock.
Kids come out and enjoy that because we had a year off. It's time to get that place busy again.
Might be a little cold, but, you know.
If they move enough,
they will. Yeah, you know what? They're kids. They'll be able to adjust to anything. So, we're excited to have it open and going again. Yeah. It just feels right to have the pool open. Mm-hmm. So, I did forget to mention something. I totally forgot about this. We've got a pool committee meeting today at 4:30. Okay. So, Kyle McCauley, the engineer, is going to be coming into town, and we'll have that meeting. I think it's just more of an introductory meeting. So he's going to introduce himself again to the pool committee members and just have a general discussion. So I don't think it'll take more than maybe an hour, 15 minutes. I think that's what his agenda said. So tonight at 4:30, there will be a pool committee meeting.